Tonight again, and we're going to use sacred music tonight as a means to an end, not an end in itself. This is not a music concert. It's a time to get together to study the Word of God, but to allow sacred music to be the means that we use to explain and expound the Word. Colossians tells us that we are to teach one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And while part of the purpose of Christian music is the direct praise and worship of God, we sing to Him, and that's great, there also is an aspect of music, according to the Scriptures, that is for a teaching purpose. In Philippians chapter 2, that great passage that let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We believe that according to the structure of the words, that that was a hymn. And it was just full of teaching content concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to take probably the best known and most well-loved passage in all of the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, and to allow sacred music to be a means whereby we explain and apply the principles. Now, you are a key part. You're the choir, and you'll have your role to play. And we'll do our part in doing some special music, and you'll do your part. But the focus is not so much on the music, whether it's melodious or whether it's our style or somebody else's style, but rather on the message and what we learn. The passage is very familiar. You'll recognize it when I begin to read. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him," the literal Greek is, "whoever believes into him should not perish or be lost, but have eternal life." And here now is this famous, fabulous collection of words that is probably the best known and well-loved in all the Scripture for most believers, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, or his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth into him, or believeth in him, should not perish or be lost, but have present possession, everlasting life. And one of the reasons that this verse is so precious to us is that it begins by pointing our attention to God. And I don't know if you remember, maybe you're too young to remember a chorus that we used to sing in Sunday school and in church years ago, "For God so loved the world, he gave," you know that? All right, that's a good chorus to begin. I don't have it written out. We'll rely on our memories. And that kind of introduces musically this whole passage tonight. Let's sing. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful is love to me." I need to pull this over a little bit so it's closer to me. Now that was all right for rehearsal. All choirs need a rehearsal. Now we've got warmed up and we breathe. When we sing, we breathe. We expand our rib cage out and back, and it creates a vacuum which fills us with air, and then we pop our stomachs with a second battery of stored up air, and we sing from our hearts once more. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free, from days coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful is love to me. And this verse is wonderful because of what it reveals to us about God. And I suppose one of the hymns that illustrates this portion of the verse that deals with the person of God is number 32 in the hymn book, which again you probably know by memory, but if you need the words, you'll find it in number 32, and we sing together, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Let's sing the chorus once more. I think the roof joists are probably secure. We're not in danger of lifting them, singing from our hearts. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. You really do sing well, you know. Time to make a CD and go on a tour, right? This is what adds such amazing wonder to this passage of Scripture. It's the revelation of the great and mighty God who created this world. And certainly, it's a reason for us to praise Him and to worship Him, which we do this evening. Thank you. Let's sing the chorus together. Ready? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has. Now full volume. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he have done once more. For the things he have done and again. For the things he have done. I'd say that that's worth a price, worth the price of admission alone, to come here on a Sunday evening and to join our voices in heartfelt praise, to sing to God, to him be the glory for the things he hath done. This is an older song of praise and worship. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet. Thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise to sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. What is so wonderful about this most beloved of all scripture passages is that it not only introduces us to the God of creation and nature who is worthy of our praise, but it makes this amazing statement that this God loves the world. And that includes you and includes me. Amazing statement. This morning in our Bible study, we talked about agape, love, what it is, how that in this love there's no jealousy, there's no boasting, there's no self-seeking, nothing of that. There is kindness and protection and trust and hope. Well, that's not only talking about the love that God wants us to have, but that's describing His love. Everything that we talked about this morning in terms of the biblical revelation of the marks of love are all present in their fullness in the Lord God of heaven and earth. I said, how can we choose a song that will help us as a choir tonight to sing about the love of God? And of course, I'm a great lover of Charles Wesley's famous hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood?" And it's number 248 in the hymn book. You are the choir, and we will sing together number 248, the first stanza. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me, who caused His pain for me, who Him to take? Chorus once more. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? About 80 years ago, a man by the name of Frederick M. Lehman wrote a song that has become and will continue to be immortal. Perhaps not everyone knows this song today, but it's a song that deeply touches us whenever we sing of the love of God. As we read John 3:16, this song greatly expands and explains the truth. Thank you. this mighty, eternal, loving Heavenly Father displayed his love, according to this text, in that he gave over his only, his one and only unique Son. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we worship and praise, and that is the center of this text of Scripture. We are told in the Scriptures about the giving of the name Jesus. The angel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Emmanuel." He also said, "You will call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." And one of the things that sacred music helps us to do is to extol the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hymn number 81 in the hymn book does that. It's written by W.H. Clark and Ralph Hudson. The hymn, "Blessed Be the Name of the Lord." Let us sing together number 81 in the hymn book. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his Son for men to die, that he might men redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the A man by the name of Bill Gaither, that you probably all know, had his version of this song, "Blessed Be the Name," when he wrote the chorus, "There's Something About That Name." Thank you. And that which makes the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so precious to us is that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son as an atonement for our sin to die on the cross of Calvary. And this is what causes us to simply be stunned with amazement. Back in 1959, I first visited Jerusalem and had the opportunity to climb Gordon's Calvary, which is a Muslim cemetery right over the place that some people think is the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about 6 a.m. The sun was just rising, and there I stood somewhere in the vicinity of where the Lord Jesus died for me. And I tell you, I could do nothing other than to rededicate my life completely to him. Take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And John 3:16 helps us to, in the words of the songwriter, to walk where Jesus walked. It's one of the blessings of sacred music. It literally picks us up and enables us to walk where the Lord Jesus walked. God so loved the world that he gave on the cross his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him, and here is this interesting phrase that literally says, whoever believes into him. And one Greek grammarian says that the meaning of that phrase, actually that expression, believing into him, is a figure of speech, which means to believe into or surrender or submit. Someone who believes into someone in this way regards themselves as the commentator said, the lifetime servant of Jesus. It's not just a matter of, oh yeah, sure, it happened. No, it's a matter of, if we really believe into him, that he is the Lord and that he is the Son of God and that he died, when we believe in him, we surrender to him and we submit to him and we become his servants. And that's what it means, that whoever believes into him, to follow him and to obey him, that person who believes in that way will never perish but have the gift of everlasting life. Robert Harkness expressed it musically this way with the song Only Believe and Live. Think of all the songs that Mary sings and plays. This has to be one of my favorites. It's a classical song. It's regarded by many as the most beautiful instrumental solo ever written. It's written for the violin. And it comes from an opera called Thais. Thais is the story of a monk who lived in about the 4th century A.D. who had a tremendous burden for a woman of the town, not a good woman, an evil woman, and a wealthy woman. And he cried out that she might repent of her sin and turn to God. And the opera Thais, the name of the woman was Thais, is all about this drama of this life, and the author of the opera, Massenet, wrote an instrumental violin solo to depict the time when Thais was struggling with the decision. Would she leave her life of sin and wealth and commit her life to God and become a Christian? And this battle goes on. And the song begins with a melody of peace, which describes the way the gospel comes to us, a message of peace. And then there is this struggle as she struggles, yes or no, or what to do, and suddenly the song becomes full of turmoil. And then she makes her decision. Yes, I will follow the Lord and obey him, and then the peace returns. Meditation by Thais. It's an absolutely gorgeous song. And it speaks of the conflict that rages within us as we face this decision of who will be the Lord of our lives. Thank you.
Scripture says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that word life means not only existence, but it means enjoyment. A life that is full, a life that is rich. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of his shed blood, our sins are forgiven, and God gives to us the gift of eternal life. Abundant and free, what glory shine, what joys are mine, what wondrous blessings I see. My past with its sin, the searching and strife, forever come, there's a bright new dawn, for in Christ I have found new life. And thus, we have this amazing passage of Scripture. God so loved the world, he gave over his only begotten Son, that whoever believes into him, submits to him, surrenders to him, becomes the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never perish, or she will never perish, but will have everlasting life. A composer of a few years ago, Ralph Carmichael, wrote a song based on the text of Scripture that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me." And here tonight in this Renfrew Baptist Church building, where we've gathered on the 6th of September 2009, once again, the Lord Jesus knocks at the door of our lives. And if we have never opened the door, if we have never believed in him, if we have never made the decision to invite him into our life and to surrender ourselves to him, then that opportunity is available this evening. And the song he wrote is simply called, "The Savior is Waiting." Thank you.
I guess, the most favorite or most famous of all invitation hymns is the hymn that always used to conclude a Billy Graham crusade. It's number 260 in the hymn book. The words by Charlotte Elliott, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Let us sing together. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The last stanza together. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word and this most wonderful of all passages of Scripture. We thank you for what it teaches us about you, about your greatness and your wonderful love. We thank you for what it teaches us about our Lord Jesus Christ, who also loved us and gave himself to die for us. We thank you for what it teaches us about faith in him and believing in him, and that not by works of righteousness, but by faith, by trusting him, you have promised us that we will never be lost, but have the present and wonderful gift of everlasting life. We bless you for that and thank you for this time this evening. May we go in the light of these truths, and may they remain with us during this week. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen, Amen, and Amen. Let us sing in conclusion. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree. From sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful is love to me. Good night. I hope you have a sunny week.